Well, in part of the update last Sunday evening, I mentioned to you that in Switzerland they were having a vote. Actually, last Sunday was the end of that, and part of that involved the vote on what they were calling a healthcare pass, which is basically their name for a COVID vaccine passport. And that did occur. Did anybody check me out on that? Well, here are the results of it. 62% of Swiss voters chose to maintain the country's coronavirus measures, including this healthcare pass. So that involves entering public places and where you can work and all kinds of things. Switzerland has 26 cantons that are similar to, we would probably call them counties, but out of the 26 Swiss cantons, 24 of them voted in favor of this measure. So that is what happened there. And it probably comes as no surprise to you. On the heels of this, an article, I actually had to work on translating this article from German so that I could understand it. But basically it says, massive voter fraud in Switzerland. And so that Swiss election was rigged, and there is not anything that anybody wants to do or can do about that. So that happened. Of course, it helped that they threw in financial benefits to citizens who get the healthcare pass. So people voted for that because they wanted the money. What they didn't realize is that they were giving away the control of all of their personal assets in doing this. Now, some might say, well, all right, that's Switzerland. Does that have anything to do with us? This has direct ramifications on the United States because the Swiss Central Bank is the largest investor in the U.S. stock markets. And so because of that, there is control of your economy that comes from what's happening now in Switzerland. So there's the update on that. That is what's happened within the last week. Continuing on the coronavirus topic, there was an Israeli study actually published in September in the New England Journal of Medicine, which, by the way, you can read the articles free online in the New England Journal of Medicine. But to make this study short, it essentially says that the coronavirus vaccines, and especially this research was done on the Pfizer vaccine, the effectiveness wears off after 6 months. The same study also shows that from the time you get the second vaccine, for 6 months, the effectiveness decreases about every 2 weeks. There's a marked decrease in the effectiveness. And the same study also shows that there is a much higher degree of immune effect if you have had the coronavirus and recovered from it. You are more immune than if you have had the Pfizer vaccine. So there's the latest on vaccines and how that's all going. But you do realize this is going to keep coming at you. And it has nothing to do with your health. It has everything to do with government totalitarian control over your life and finances. So that is what's coming. Of course, you've probably been hearing all week long about the Omicron variant now of the coronavirus. You know, not very long ago, they were still talking about the new Delta variant. These all are named after letters of the Greek alphabet. So Omicron, that means, you know, not too long from now, there will be the Rho variant and then the Pi variant. And this is going to go on and on and on. Say, when is it going to stop? And the answer is probably never. It's just going to keep coming. But this article from this week, less than 200 cases of Omicron worldwide. In other words, in the whole world, there aren't even 200 cases of the Omicron variant. Does that match all the hype you're hearing about right now? No, and that tells you it's just hype. This is not news. This is not reality. This is hype. If you want to know who is responsible for the conspiracy theories, it's these people. What you hear every day on the news, that's the conspiracy theory stuff. All the time, and it's going to keep coming. Now, this one I thought was rather fascinating because this article is written, I'll just read a part of it. He says, let me just put my card on the table here. I'm not of the mindset that the mark of the beast is something that we will see in our lifetime or in the future. I believe all of this took place in the first century under the Roman Emperor Nero. In other words, this guy does not agree with you on Bible prophecy, the Antichrist, the tribulation. He is what's called a preterist. He believes the events of the book of Revelation happened in the first century. They're not future, according to him. Nonetheless, he says, I've got to admit that what we're currently seeing in Sweden really does seem pretty much to fit the criteria of what some people say they're looking for in the mark of the beast. He talks about people who have been saying that microchips can be implanted into the hands of people and that that could be the mark of the beast. But now in Sweden, chips are being implanted into people's hands to prove that they are vaccinated. Okay, so their vaccine pass now is being put in a microchip and actually inserted into the person's body. So quite literally, they are taking something into their hand so that they can buy and sell and even go to work. Okay, that's in Sweden. So that's happening. The article even shows pictures of them doing it. So this is even now coming from people who would disagree with us on Bible prophecy, admitting this stuff is happening now. And so that's the news from Sweden this week. Some of you may have seen a few weeks back at the Merck laboratory facility outside of Philadelphia. There were 5 vials labeled smallpox that were uncovered there, and 10 labeled as vaccinia, a smallpox vaccine. The facility was locked down. FBI and Centers for Disease Control came and looked into it. These were discovered while cleaning out a freezer in the Merck laboratory facility. Doesn't appear that any of this has been released or whatever, but you do know the World Health Organization certified that in 1980, smallpox had been eradicated from the planet. And, you know, many of us had smallpox vaccinations when we were children. You had to have one to go to school back then. Those have not been happening since the 1980s. So the majority of Americans now are not vaccinated against smallpox. Now, you know, that's almost not news and almost not scary at all, except for this one. Within 2 weeks after that, billionaire Bill Gates has called for an international task force to prepare for a smallpox bioterror attack. Bill Gates is talking about a global smallpox pandemic. Say, well, who cares? That's Bill Gates. Well, you ought to care, because in 2015, a year before the presidential election, a year before Donald Trump was elected president, Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, 2015, both predicted an international pandemic that would strike during the term of the next president of the United States. And they were saying, and the United States is not prepared to handle this. Now, they said that. We're talking about a good 4 years before COVID. How did they know that? The answer is, they were the ones who paid for creating it. Okay? Now, what I'm talking about isn't the conspiracy theory. What they're doing is the conspiracy theory. I'm just giving you the facts on this. And you can check this out. Both of them are reported as they want to say that the total population of the earth must be reduced to about 500 million people. That means they have to kill off 7.5 billion people. And the reason they're doing it is because there's so many people that we can't control global warming. So to get the carbon footprint down, their answer is get rid of people. How do they propose to get rid of people? COVID. A pandemic. And so far, that hasn't worked for them, has it? So, should it get our concern when Bill Gates says there's going to be a global smallpox pandemic? That should get us very concerned. And by the way, smallpox is much more deadly than COVID. Okay. Gates is calling for a pandemic task force to carry out germ games, and is talking about bioterrorists releasing smallpox at 10 major international airports, which would then spread it through the whole world. So this article goes on and on that subject, but it does keep coming. November 22nd, this article, China's new hypersonic weapon is even more shocking than previously thought. And so these are hypersonic drones that can be launched and go anywhere in the world. They have a kind of warhead on them. And yes, you can put explosives on there, but the things they're actually looking at are an electromagnetic pulse weapon that would actually completely tear down the entire electrical grid in a whole region of the world. So we're talking now about the ability to wipe out electricity completely and do it, you know, not just in a region, but do it in multiple countries all over the world. We're also talking about putting chemical weapons, and there is a discussion in this article about smallpox, that these could be sent by these little drones, and there are approximately 250 of these long-range missile silos already in existence at three locations in China, and they're talking about expanding that to 1,000 by the year 2030. But it's already in play. Just so that you understand, that far outstrips the American stockpile of nuclear warheads. So those are the kinds of things also in the news. And this came as a total shock to the United States government. Okay? So the U.S. knew they were doing it, but not how much. So these are all very recent things and going on, and they tell you how this is all going to continue. Now, in the United States, there is still the notion that, well, okay, whatever, you know, this stuff all going on and, you know, our government's a mess and this is going on and pandemics and all this, but at least we still have our military, right? You do know that is the one thing that seems to unite Americans more than any. We got to support our troops, you know, the military. Okay. U.S. Army accused of promoting Satanism to troops. Now, some of you probably saw this originally back in September. Fox television host Tucker Carlson did a whole presentation on this and had a PowerPoint presentation on it. And this is all designed to get all of the members of the military vaccinated. Okay. The U.S. Army admitted that the presentation was shown to service members. So they admitted that Tucker Carlson was correct in what he pointed out. And Carlson called the Army's vaccine mandate a takeover of the U.S. military. By the way, Tucker Carlson's job on Fox News is probably in danger, not only because of this, but other things that he has reported. So, to kind of summarize this, there are in this training that's being given, and you say, well, that's the Army. It's being given to the Navy, the Marines. Navy SEALs have had to take this as well. The 13 points, essential doctrines, if you will, of Satanism are now part of Army, Navy, military training. Okay? That's going on. And it's all designed to get control. Some of you may have seen just this week at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, they are approving on-campus satanic study groups at the Naval Academy. Okay? Listen, the days where you say, well, if nothing else, we'll at least salute the military and sing God Bless America and all of that. Okay, but that is not where your military is going. And it brings up 100 other questions that I won't even get into tonight about all of this. But all of that to say, your confidence and your past honor of the United States military is in serious question. Should that continue? Should that go on? And all kinds of questions should be asked. Has America ever fought a just war? Has America ever fought a just war? Well, arguments can be made for both sides of that question, but the real issue behind that is it's really all about the financial prosperity of the elite. It's not about your freedom. say, well, they're over there fighting for our freedoms. You know what? They haven't been fighting for your freedoms probably for almost a century now. Okay? At the same time, the elite are funding all kinds of new technology, some of it biotechnology. Do you know the name Elon Musk? Okay. His physician, along with a Harvard medical scholar in molecular genetics, and a guy at MIT, basically are saying to Elon Musk, if we can get you to live another 10 years, we could get you to live another 100 years, and we could get you to live another 1,000 years. You know, all it takes is his money, right? And they can build all these things, and, you know, I won't even go into the stuff involved with it, but organ transplants, and, you know, some of you know about the whole idea of brain freezing to preserve somebody's brain for the future and all of that, which all, you know, back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, all of that sounded a bit like science fiction. Well, now, if you have the money, they'll give you a program to do it. So you say, well, if they kill off 7.5 billion people with pandemics, who's going to be left to populate the planet? The answer is the elite, because they can buy it and pave their way into it. Everything behind this is the notion of progressivism, humanism. Give us enough time and we can figure it out and we can accomplish anything. When you take the God of the Bible out of the picture, government and behind the scenes elite become God. And that is what is going on. And you say, well, are people really falling for this stuff? The answer is, the vast majority of people are falling for this stuff. Anybody that does not have a biblical creation worldview gets suckered into this. Okay? I mean, you can already hear in just what I'm talking about, evolution is built into this. It's just now human beings are the controllers of evolution. It's built into it, and it goes on, and they think they can make progress. We can figure out anything. Now, we might have to kill a lot of people to do it. We might have to start wars. Yeah. But that is the and that way of thinking makes sense to the majority of Americans. It does. It makes sense to the majority of Americans. To illustrate that, Joe Biden made a comment on the destruction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. He did it at the White House annual menorah lighting ceremony last Wednesday on the fourth night of Hanukkah. In his speech, Biden referenced the story of Hanukkah and the destruction of the Second Temple. Then Biden did this. Biden compared the temple to, and I quote now, the temple of our democracy, end quote. Biden was trying to be optimistic in his speech, saying that the third temple will be rebuilt. And he says, and I quote, whether it's in the temple of Jerusalem or the temple of our democracy, nothing broken or profaned is beyond repair. Nothing. We can always build back better. Now, you've heard Joe Biden say that lots, haven't you? Build back better. That was one of his campaign slogans. Build back better. We can always build back better. We can build back brighter. Now, he made in the speech some of his typical Biden gaffes, calling Vice President Kamala Harris the leading menorah lady. I don't even know where that comes from. He made another announcement. And then in his closing, he said, the Hanukkah story provides a powerful lesson and nourishes the wellspring of hope. In darkness, there's light. In cynicism, there's hope and optimism and an unyielding belief that miracles are possible. You know, just when we light this menorah in the White House, when Jewish families place menorahs in their windows, we're proclaiming liberty. Is that what Hanukkah is about? Proclaiming liberty? We're showing that there is still light, that even the most fragile flame can be sustained in a tradition and nourish the soul of a people. A little bit of light, a little bit of light, wherever it is found, can dispel the darkness and illuminate a path forward. Okay? So let me ask you this. Does Joe Biden believe that people are sinful? No. He just believes, give us a little time and we can improve anything. We can make anything better. We're getting better and better and better all the time. Look, the White House menorah proves it. Okay, that's what your president is saying. He's not telling anybody, you know, goodness, even the Jews in the temple realized that the miracle was a miracle of God, It wasn't a miracle of democracy. It was a miracle of God. That is where your country is. Now, this progressivism, it's not new. It's been building. Martin Erdman, I talked to you about his book last week. He says it's there from the foundations of America. That it's always been there. But you know, at the times of World War I and World War II, these things were launched to a new level. Probably a lot of you missed this in your education. A book by Clinton J. Rossiter entitled Constitutional Dictatorship, Crisis Government in Modern Democracies. And you know, crisis government and what you hear in that is kind of government temporary measures, which were very popular and prominent in World War I and World War II. Temporary measures. What crisis government really is, it's another name for dictatorship. Totalitarianism. By the way, you came very close to that under FDR, you know, who basically, for all practical purposes, became a dictator during that time. This book, by the way, some of you say, well, no, I didn't have that in school. That was, no, this was 1940s. This book was written. 1940s. This isn't new. He talks about constitutional dictatorship in Germany and crisis government in the United States. Talking about starting with the time of the Civil War in the United States. And it was published at Princeton University by Princeton University Press. This book basically destroyed Rossiter's career because he exposed so many things in this book, which you can still find on library shelves, but mostly it's just there collecting old dust and hasn't been used or read for years now. And Rossiter ended up committing suicide from chronic depression, probably brought on by the fact that he knew all this stuff that was going on. These things have been being moved and controlled by behind-the-scenes elite for centuries, not just decades even, but for centuries now. And yeah, I mean, you used to hear stories, oh yeah, those behind the scenes elite, they're like the Illuminati and things like that. Okay, the Illuminati is just a popular level cover front for who these elite people really are. And many of them are the wealthiest people on the planet. The point is, it doesn't matter who you vote for, because who you vote for is still picked and controlled by the same people. This is called soft totalitarianism or soft dictatorship. You're deceived into thinking that your voice matters and that you have a say in it. But that's a deception. It's not real. It doesn't matter anymore that your Constitution talks about a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It isn't. And hasn't been throughout your lifetime. It hasn't been. So, all of that to say, this ultimately, as I said last time, leads to Antichrist. And the majority of people in the world will hear what the Antichrist has to say and say, wow, that's totally logical. That makes total sense. And you know that that's true because that's what you hear people saying every day right now. Now, before I close with some Bible verses, this is not recent news at all. Some of you might remember the name Admiral Jim Stockdale. From 1968 to 1974, he was the highest ranking military officer in the Hanoi Hilton, it was called, the prison camp in Hanoi. He's there 7 years, 68 to 74. He was tortured over 20 times. By his own account, Stockdale came out of the prison camp even stronger than when he went in. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? His book, In Love and War, recounts this whole story. By the way, if you read the book, In Love and War, if you think that what I talked about last week and tonight is enough to get you depressed, just read Stockdale's book. Okay? It's depressing what they went through in the Vietnamese prison camp. His constraints were severe, and it seemed like there was never going to be an end to any of it. His captors would come in at any time and torture him without any reason. They just did it. He had no sense of whether he would ever get out of the prison camp. Now, he eventually did get out, if you remember the news from the time, the account. He was reunited with his family, became something of a national hero, and he wrote his book. To kind of summarize all of this, how did he come out stronger? How did he survive when many others did not survive? When they died in that camp? How did he come out stronger? He said, the optimists were the ones who died. Yes, they were the ones who always said, we're going to be out by Christmas. Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then there would be another Christmas. And they died of a broken heart. Stockdale says, this is what I learned from those years in the prison camp, where all those constraints were oppressive. You must never, ever confuse, on the one hand, the need for absolute, unwavering faith that you can prevail despite those constraints. Don't confuse that with, on the other hand, the need for the discipline to confront the brutal facts, whatever they are. His point, we're not getting out of here by Christmas. In other words, don't just say, okay, yeah, all this is going on in the world today, but I'm just going to close my eyes. I don't want to hear about this. You know, it just makes me depressed. There's no hope in it. Well, you're right. There is no hope in it. But don't close your eyes and don't ignore it. You must confront the brutal facts, Stockdale says. But at the same time, you must continue in unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. So, unwavering faith and brutal facts held in tension with one another, not just giving up and wishful thinking, pie in the sky stuff. He says he came out better for that when others died. Does that mean anything for us at all? You know, we've covered it so many times, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The rapture is coming, right? And it's soon. How soon is soon? We don't know. You know, will we be out of here by Christmas? That'd be great. That'd be great. But understand, when the Bible teaches us about the rapture, that is not for the purpose of escapism. Do you know that? You don't say, boy, I really hope it's soon because things are getting so bad that I just want to be out of here. Okay, that's escapism. The rapture isn't for the purpose of escapism. The rapture is not a denial of difficulties. The rapture is not a denial of the evil that's going on in the world. In fact, before the rapture comes, there will be all kinds of increasing evil in the world. We just saw that this morning in 2 Timothy. There will be. The rapture is us getting to be with Jesus forever. It's not about escapism, it's about Jesus. You see, it's humanism, it's progressivism that denies the difficulties in the world. Progressivism says, like Joe Biden says, we can beat it. We can control it. We can make it better. Now, we might have to kill people and start a war and do all that in order to make it better, but we can control it all. The rapture says to us, no, we're not denying these difficulties, nor do we think we can improve them, control them, or make them go away. They are real. But Jesus is the one who is coming, and he is the one who will be king. We will be part of that. We love his appearing, 2 Timothy 4:8. We look forward to his appearing because we will be with him. That's not escapism. That's our eternal future, eternally with Jesus. Jesus himself said, one of my go-to verses, John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, be of good cheer. In this world, you shall have tribulation. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome all of this already on the cross. He overcame it all. This is why I began last week, remember 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar were men of understanding, discerning the times. Remember Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, we should be awake alert, be wise, be understanding, knowing what the will of God is. We should be discerning, knowing the times, because the days are evil. But we need to be wise and understanding in this. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In verse 10, Paul says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11, Paul says, do this. Well, the do this, this is love. Love one another. Do this knowing the time. Chiron. That's some of what I'll be talking about next Sunday morning. The time. That it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. When he says salvation is nearer, he's not talking about you getting saved. That's already happened for you as a believer. He's talking about your glorification salvation that occurs at the rapture. And that is nearer than when you first believed. It's nearer than it was last Sunday night. It's nearer than it was yesterday. It's the time. You'll awaken from sleep. You'll be glorified. Romans 13:12, the night is almost gone. And the day, the coming day of the Lord, is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Is the night prevailing? Yes, it is. But the night's almost gone. Is evil prevailing? Yes, it is. But it's almost gone. Say, well, how much longer can it continue? I don't know. But on the one hand, don't stop believing. Continue in faith in the rapture. And on the other hand, live in wisdom with the whole armor of God and making no provision for the flesh. Keep reality and faith both going. You don't need to be escapist. Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. This is a summary statement concerning the coming world Babylon kingdom in the tribulation period. Revelation 17:17. God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. And then when the words of God will be fulfilled, in Revelation 19:16, Jesus comes to the earth. He has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You see, God is sovereignly moving this evil, all according to his purpose. And all of the kingdoms of this world are going to give their authority to the Antichrist. That's what's coming. All this news stuff shows to you is it's coming a whole lot sooner than anybody might have thought. A whole lot sooner rather than later. But then when Jesus comes to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the beast, Antichrist, will be thrown into the lake of fire. He will be gone. And all of the kingdoms of this world belong to Jesus. They belong to Jesus. And I want to tell you, in Jesus' kingdom, you will not have to worry about the coronavirus or getting a healthcare passport so that you can go somewhere. By the way, by then you will have been raptured and completely glorified. You won't have to worry about any of these things. So, what is the point of all of this? This planet and the people of this planet have no hope to offer you. None. Zero. Even with all of their so-called progress, they do not have hope to offer you. There is one hope. It is the gospel. There is one blessed hope. It is the rapture. Jesus is coming. There is one hopeful, glorious future for a government. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. By the way, human beings don't get to elect him. You do realize if it was up to human beings, they wouldn't elect him. You know, if we're still here for the next presidential election and Jesus was running on the ballot for President of the United States, Jesus would not get elected. He would not get the nomination from any political party. He wouldn't. Why? Lost human beings are Christ haters. And that is the vast majority of the population of the world. By the way, you can see in the tribulation period massive global warming, and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci are not going to stop it. Because it's not man, there's no such thing as man-made global warming. The global warming that comes in the tribulation period is caused by God. It is the wrath of God. It's not some kind of environmental factor. It's the judgment of God. They're not going to fix it. They're not going to stop it. But do you know what you hear all the time? Blah, 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 blah. Everything's getting better. Oh, it's wonderful. We're fixing everything. We're going to find a cure for everything. Elon Musk can live for 1,000 years. Oh, really? That's not going to work. And you know what? People will live 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom when Jesus is reigning. The world cannot do it, but Jesus can. Heavenly Father, we look to you in this. May your people once again be knowing not only that these times are upon us, but Lord, knowing that we have the only answer. No politician has it, no government has it, but we have it. And it's the gospel. And so, Lord, may we trust in you and trust in you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.